I'm excited to be here tonight. I just know that God is doing something in our midst, and you know, I think sometimes the best thing is to do is to get out of God's way so that He can do what He wants to do. And I just feel what we're going to do tonight is on His heart. I want to talk about spending time with God. In the past, I've done this. I think it's about the third time in my 5 years of ministering as a pastor where I've just stopped and just speak on this. This is so central. I think sometimes we take so many things for granted. As believers or even as pastors, we assume people just know, you know, how to get into God's presence and how to connect with Him. And so tonight, I just don't want to assume anything. I just want to help. Maybe there's a few of you that's new around here. Really tonight, I just want to take your hand and maybe open my devotional life a bit. I remember as a young believer, some of the people you saw on the screen with a Bible school ad, I used to sit under their teaching as a young student. When I became a student, I gave my heart to the Lord right in the beginning. I got baptized on the first year's camp. Okay, so God saved me from the campus and He saved the campus from me, both ways. And I got one of these books, nothing special, no magic in it. And the very first time I went to church, I put the date on and who's preaching and the title of the sermon, and I started to make God's word my own. That was my training for being a pastor. At the moment, I'm myself and Vian, we're studying a degree in theology, which is amazing if you've got the opportunity to do it. But that was my study, just sitting under God's word. For the 4 years I was a student, I've got a pile of books this high, and I can go back to any date, any Sunday. I never missed church. I lived an hour's drive away from a campus. It was never an excuse for me to miss church because it's my life. It's my bread. It's my food. And so if I wake up in the morning in Cape Town, I try and be here for church wherever because this is my breath. And sometimes I go back to 2002. That's when I was matric at the end of matric. I got saved. 2003. And my first year, I was ready with my books, and I can go back and check sermons. And it's nice to do that every now and then. What are you doing with the Word of God? Start there. Even if you're not sure how to handle God's Word, someone is doing it in church in front every Sunday. You just need a blank page and a pen, and you start to copy me. You just start, let someone, whoever preaches, just push you with your bike. You'll get your own rhythm. All right? But you need to get going. Amen? So I want to talk about spending time with God today. Let me just pray for a moment. Father, I want to thank You that You're here, Holy Spirit, in this place. I give just preference to You, Holy Spirit. This is Your church, Your evening. Every heart here belongs to You. Father, You've known each one of us and named us long before we had one another. Even our marriage partners, Lord, they belong to You, and our kids, they're not ours. We just stewards, Lord. So tonight, whatever needs to be done, Lord, let it do it. We're not relying on that computer on the back, definitely not. We're not relying on the speakers, not relying on our heaters. We rely on You to come and help us tonight. Amen? Right, now before I get into a certain text, let me just explain what I'm doing tonight compared with last week. Like, the last 2 weeks, we had sermons where we really took the Word and we exposed the Word for what it is, right? Now, what we said is there's only one interpretation for Scripture. Did you know that? It was written to a specific group for a specific reason. There's one interpretation, but there's many applications, all right? There's many ways Scripture can be applied to our lives, all right? But now, tonight, I'm going to go a bit devotionally. So I'm going to apply the Scripture to myself, to my heart. I'm literally going to stand here and say, this is what it meant to me, and that's what I did with the Scripture. So I'm going to apply it to myself. Now, don't confuse my application for the interpretation of the Scripture. Okay? Are you with me? Because one interpretation, one thing, what did Jesus say about feet? He said, wash feet. All right? You must wash one another's feet. What does He mean by it? Okay? You can literally wash someone's feet. It's deeply spiritual. I don't know if you've ever done it in a small group. Every now and then we do it. Something happens because what you're doing, you're embodying servanthood. Okay. That's what he said. Serve one another. Be lower. Okay. But there's many ways you can apply that. You can serve someone by praying for them. You can serve someone by literally help them get food on the table. Right. So there's many applications for scripture. If we take it too hard and it changes us. So tonight I'm going to actually apply a lot of these things. I'm going to open a window into my quiet time. And I think it's going to help a lot of you guys. I'm especially going to be honest about the obstacles of getting to quiet time and what I experience in my heart and how I have to pray through that. Now, just a few things. What we believe here is every member, okay, is a minister. Every one of you must handle the word. You are not here so that I can tell you what to do because then I terribly fail you. If you have a concern in your life and you come to me for an answer, unless it's your first, second, or you're a new person around here, maybe come and chat to me. But here's the thing. We want you to grow to hear God's voice for yourself, to read His word, to discover it, to think through it, to go to Him before you go to your small group leader. Amen? Someone must wake up. It's opstaan tyd. So how do you spend time with God? Now, something happened there at the back. Someone smashed someone's small. Guys, you don't have to be so harsh about it, okay? Let me just say this about reading God's word. It's very good to grow in your academic skills. I'm doing it all the time. But you can have a PhD and the word of God will not penetrate your heart. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals God's word to the heart. He's the illuminator of scripture. He brings to life what is only words. One person may read a specific scripture and another the same one, and the one will be totally touched by it. The one will change, one's eyes will open, and the one will say, waste of time. What is the difference? It's the same scripture, it's the same passage. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of scripture to the one who reads it. Does that make sense? Very important. Now, in scripture, I want you to understand this. You get explicit teaching from scripture, which means something is very clearly stated. It's a fact or it's a command. And you also get implicit teaching, which means something is implied. Now, I just want to talk through a few of these things before we start. Who of you have been in an accountability group? Okay. And then am I right to say that normally you guys will take books like those little books at the end of the Bible, Ephesians, James, 1 John, am I right? Why? Those are the books that often contains explicit teaching. Husbands, love your wife. Just do it. Wives, love your husband. Do not be drunk with wine. Be filled with spirit. Very straight. So what we want to do with an accountability group, for those of you that doesn't know what that is, we just get someone to sit around the table with you for 6 weeks and you work through the same scriptures and you meet once a week and talk through it. Okay? Now, what we want to help you with is we want to help you not to be only a believer, but an obedient believer. Okay? And so the way we help you is to give you scripture where obedience is easy to follow. All right? You'll find, don't be anxious for anything in Philippians 4, but make your request known to God with thanksgiving. It's quite simple. Just do it. Okay? But what you'll also find in scripture, especially in the Gospels, is you'll hear something like, and Jesus went up from that place and he went to a different town. Now, okay, what you know is that he moved, but maybe if you had a study Bible or something, you'll realize that he traveled a very long time and he just ministered. So there's also hidden meanings, like what is implied is he was very tired, but he still went to minister. Can you see both? Now, let me just say this. You need no academic training, right, to read the Bible to lead to basic obedience, because there's enough explicit teaching. Jesus, he does it on the Sermon on the Mount as well. Blessed are the peacemakers. Straight up. Blessed are the pure in heart. You also, for example, with the Apostle Paul, he'd be in prison, and then as soon as he's released, he'll go to the next place. So what you get explicitly, very directly, he's on a mission. What you get behind that is he just came out of prison for sharing God's word, and here he goes again. Okay. So what do you do with your faith when you are under pressure? That's the implicit teaching. That's what's implied. What do you do when the heat is on you? When your family says, yo, you're in the Malkerk or what ook al. Okay. You're not in prison yet. Okay. What did Paul do when he was, when the heat was on? He got up and he ministered. Okay. Now, the only reason I'm saying that is the more you read the Bible, the more you will understand what is implied behind the explicit teaching. Some of these things I read now, I've been reading the Bible for 15 years and I read it every day. And I read basic scriptures like, how come I never saw this? God is working with me. What you need to do now is to get reading. To start and not stop. And especially when it comes to spending time with God, devotional time, don't try and be a surgeon with the word. Read it and see what pops up. Just throwing a few things out there to place where we are tonight. Now tonight we're talking about devotional reading. You're sitting with your Bible. You say, God, just talk with me. I'm going to read this thing, but talk with me. Everyone with me? Right, this comes out of a book we're actually doing at the moment in our studies. I'm just going to give you four P's that's going to help you. Write this down and do it tomorrow morning whenever you spend your time with God. Number one, passage. Don't do this with your Bible. We don't have Bibles here because everyone's got it on their cell phone. Eh? Okay, don't like, open your Bible. Then you see, oh, klaagliedere, mens. Now you close the Bible again. Die inhoudsopgave. Oh man. Okay. Because it's gonna be a long day. Okay. If you can get into an accountability group where you will be led to read through a little book in the Bible. James, 5 chapters. Chapter a day, then you've got 2 weeks, 2 days in the week where you don't have a chapter to read, then you go back. Read chapters, not verses. But if you can, don't just read chapters, read the book. Okay? Follow the pattern. Because also in one book, you're going to get the whole, all the ingredients or all the nutrients that was contained in the message. He's going to say something about encouraging you to follow Christ. He's going to give you a hard word. He's going to say something about your marriage. He's going to say something about the gift that's in you. So read the whole book. Should you get to everything. And then at the end of the book, he's going to say goodbye. Okay, and greetings to you from Paul and his friends. And that sounds nice. Okay. Read the entire passage. Then, the first teaching I heard on spending time with God, the second P is, we spoke about jumping verses. So commit to reading the whole book of James, the day, whatever you take, the hour you're going to read or the chapter. And what you do is you ask the Holy Spirit that the word he wants you to use must jump up. And so you read, oh, this is cool, and then something hits you on the face. You're like, wow. And it can be a different wow. Wow, that is comforting. Or, wow, I didn't know I had this kind of sin in my life. Or, wow, this is so cool because if I share this with my friend, they will really be encouraged, but something will jump. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to read scripture, not just the degree. Amen? The third P is point. What is the point? Okay, God, why is this jumping up to me? Well, why am I reading this morning? What is the essence? Okay, you say this thing, but why? And how does it relate to me? And then when you get the point or the idea, and it might be, if you're a new believer, don't feel shy, go to your small group leader and maybe ask them to help you. All right? Because you want to understand God's word, right? And then the last thing is to practice. Now you must obey. You must do something. Maybe you read in scripture, when you've come to the altar, Jesus speaking, and you've got something between you and another person, just leave your gift outside, go sort it out, and then come back. So maybe God just highlighted the person. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your brother. And there's, it's the right time for God to show you. It's time for you to find that person, to tell them that you love them. Then when you've done with your quiet time, you do it. So that what you have read influences your life. the way you speak, the way you look, the way you dress, ladies and guys. May the word shape every area of our life. Amen? Okay, so just two things before we're going to get into a very specific scripture. What I've realized is there's two things that makes spending time with God hard. And the first thing I want to call breaking through the walls. Right? Now, what I mean by that is I experience personally things that keeps me from spending time with God. There's always something that wants to get me away from that place. Okay? And it's interesting when Christ speaks to the disciples, he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In this world, you will have a flesh until your flesh dies and it's all wrinkly and stuff. Okay? Then God gives you a new body. But until then, you live in a world where you will be tempted. You feel hungry. You feel excited. You feel sad. You feel drawn to do the right thing, the wrong thing, or the right thing. But you are responding to different stimuli that comes your way. You are a human being. You're a new one if you know Christ. But you are still a human. So let me tell you about my walls. I'll be honest for you. One of the walls I often have that comes between me and God is a busy mind. I'm thinking of a lot of things and I just can't be still now and hang with God because if I don't message this person, they're going to die. And, you know, it's just, everything is just so, it's an emergency. Everything's an emergency. It's a busy mind. Who suffer of a bit of a busy mind? I see busy minds, okay? You know, my busy mind have caused me to have a very bad relationship with my cell phone because I've come to believe that I must respond to you guys when you message me. Is it a bad thing for me to respond to you? No, it's a great thing. But what I've realized, if I don't put my phone off in the evening when I go to bed and leave it till after I spend time with God, I've got a busy mind and I can't connect with God. When the first messages come through, that is this thing about something that happens at church, yes, should I do it this way? It's goners. It's goneness. It's whoop, there goes my day. That's why I believe it is a good idea for you to see if you can spend time with God before your day begins. Because once it gets started, man, you could do it. There's people that pull it off in the evening. It's not a rule. But I find it to be better in the mornings, especially for the busy minds. Another thing that might, I just named some words that might get you out of God's presence. This is maybe personal. It's a guilty conscience. Okay? Because sometimes we think that God does not want to be with me. Because look at what I did. And so I rather run away from His presence and not to Him. This is a wall because it's a lie. He wants to spend time with you and He wants to be with you. I don't have the walls on the screen, so if you catch it, you may write it down. Another one is a prideful heart. I've got this waxed. I've got this day waxed. I've got this year waxed. My life kind of is organized. I'm okay. That's not even a wall. That's like a castle that you must run through. The other thing is unbelief. In any case, it's not going to make a difference. In any case, He's not going to talk with me. He's mad at me. I don't see the value of waking up earlier or spending time with Him. I'm just not sure. I'm just going to leave it. Those are walls that the enemy places before you. And as you decide, maybe tonight, some of you will make a commitment to be with Christ. I'll tell you, there's certain walls that will be between you and Jesus tomorrow morning. All right? It's distractions. The enemy wants to keep you away from that place. But you have to break through the walls. The second thing is that you need to prepare your heart to be receptive. Because here's the thing, maybe you get through the walls or you think you're through, but here's the thing, you cannot connect with Him. You sit there, you read, you pray, be like this, als in die dag vas, of jy het dit als geabsorbeer in sekunda, but you're just not sure. It's not definitely not reaching God. Nothing's coming back. Now, I just want to read you two scriptures, and I'm going to help you with this. But He gives more grace, therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Okay, and the context there is, do not have friendship with the world. All right, that's just where that lies in Scripture. I can't put a whole book of James on there. There's a condition of the heart that makes it very difficult to receive from God. God cannot help a pride person. He cannot, because you've already decided in your subconscious, He's got nothing to give me. And so you are standing like that before God. And so if you want to connect with Him, you're going to have to make sure whether your heart is receptive before you start. Just another scripture there. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from God. In this case, speaking about doubt, there's more scripture about the heart that is receptive or not. Now, here's where I just want to start. I want to just open my inner room a bit. So when I walked into God's presence to prepare the sermon that I wanted to do tonight, the specific scripture that I did, I'm just going to run it. I actually made running notes as I spent time with God. I went into my room and I just felt, I don't feel like this right now. That's how I felt. And so what I've realized is sometimes you need to wake up the sleeping giant in you, your spirit. You need to wake the thing up because he's asleep. Okay. This is a story. It comes to mind now that I stand here. I remember at my home when we were at the conference. Every morning, Han was lost out of bed. Any case, you remind me of my spirit sometimes, Han. It's like, I'm up, but it needs some, whatever you need to do. If you need to drink coffee, om wakker te raak, then do it. Twee koppies. Of twee skeppies. I don't know. Whatever works for you. But you need to wake up your spirit. And so what happened is I started to talk. I was like, God, I'm here, but I don't feel like this. What is this? I must help the congregation, but I've got a problem and it's me. And a very interesting thing happened. The moment I started to talk, this is the feeling that came to me. God was helping me. My emotion said this, I'm actually sorted. That was the thought that came to me, I'm sorted. There's a roof over my head and there's warm bedding and stuff and there's food in the house, I'm sorted. And God was just showing me, here's your problem. You think you're sorted, but you're broken because you look at external things. And at the moment I start to talk to God about it, God, here's my problem. Something fell off my shoulders. I broke through the walls and my heart became receptive. Lord, you're right. I've got an issue. I'm proud. I actually don't believe I need this. That was my thing that morning. And as I started to just talk about it and turn my heart, I could feel the weight drop off my shoulders and I was into His presence. I could feel the line, the conduit that's supposed to connect me with God just opened up. When you enter into your room, when you close your door, think about what you are thinking. Ask God to show you the obstructions. Mine was, if I didn't ask that question, if I carried on, I would have read that scripture and I would have taken nothing to heart because my heart was closed. I'm sorted. Can you see what a big problem you have if you go to scripture and you think you know everything? You cannot walk out of there with a revelation. You cannot walk fresh because you have already locked your heart. You cannot receive, it's what scripture says. But to the humble He gives. And so I got through my walls, I got in my room, God showed me my heart, and I felt the connection, and I sat down to read the scripture. And this is what I read. You can follow with me. Colossians 2. That's what was on my plate that morning. Okay, so first thing, first P portion. Let's read through the chapter. Now what I did is, because it's my quiet time that I'm opening up to you guys, is I actually highlighted or bolded, is that a word? Can I say that? The piece in my Bible that I highlighted. What you see in bold was my jumping verse or verses. All right? So it may be different for you, but this is mine. But let's read this together. For I want you to know how a great struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. We're going to read 17 verses and then we're going to focus on 3 because that's what happened. Okay? Now don't lose me. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together. What Paul is saying when he said a struggle, he probably means he's struggling in prayer. I'm thinking of you. I've got a burden on my heart. And this is my burden, that your heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding of the knowledge of God. He's got a burden for them to go all the way. That's his burden, all right? Now, Laodicea is about 10 kilometers from the city of Colossae, okay? So they like, if Sukuna was the main thing, they're a bit like Evander, they're there, and what has happened here is those guys from Titus went there, okay? Those false teachers, they reach all the town. Whenever the gospel is there, they're there. And now Paul is writing to help them. And he says, all these things that I'm praying for you, this mystery, all this full assurance, which is in Christ, and it jumped. Jump to me in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right. What I want to do is not to stop too long at one point. I want to finish my chapter and I'll go back. All right. That's just me. You don't have to do it that way. I say this in order that no one may delude you, that niemand jou mee boskan lei nie, with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Jumping verse. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Right. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. Guess what? The Jews showed up, right? Every town has got a Heiskerk that tells you you must keep the Jewish calendar. Every town in the world, back then as well. You must dress a certain way. You must eat a certain way. And Paul did not agree, all right? According to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity, of the whole fullness of God dwells bodily in Christ. And you have been filled in him, which is the head of all rule and authority. That's a mighty position where you find yourself to be in him. Right, there's two more jumping verses. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I brought in BLT, so, okay? Circumcision is besnedenness. Now he's saying, you have us besnayed with the besnedenness sonder hande. So he's talking about something that happens, that God does in one, okay? Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. We're almost done. And you who were dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you did not know God, God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authority and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Another jumping verse there for me. There's the last two. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ, or the substance is Christ. So, right, mouthful. Quite a loaded chapter, to be honest, and there's a few verses as well, but I can't keep you here all night. So what I do is I go back to my first jumping verse. If you guys can go to slide number 9, there's my first jumping verse. And I want to know, Lord, why did this jump up to me? Was it just nice, or is there something in my life that you want to address? And now remember, I dealt with my pride and I'm not at that place where, talk with me, Lord. Talk with me. I know I don't know anything. So help me. Now, as I read there, that Everything is in Christ. All those things, it's in Christ. I had a problem because I was sitting there and something in me, this is God, He also uses your emotions. He uses everything. He knows you inside out. What happened at that moment is I felt a bit unfulfilled. I felt a bit thirsty. And I'm like, Lord, how? If it's all in Christ, why do I feel I need to achieve something great? Why do I feel I need to impress people? Why? If it's in Him, shouldn't my thirst be quenched? This is what came to my heart. I'm talking with Scripture out of my heart. Okay, that's what you must do. And so, where I started, God led me back. A lot of my comfort, a lot of the things I place value on, a lot of the ideals in my life is not in Christ. I took it and I placed it in my world. Securities I have, a few cents in the bank to buy food, organized, roof over my head, job, awesome friends. And I've taken pieces of my heart and I placed it in things that's not Christ. And so I remain thirsty because those things cannot fill. And God is leading me to this place that I must take my whole heart and just put it back into Him. And so here is the key prayer that I needed to pray that morning. We're talking about my devotional time here. Okay, I'm opening up. You must go and figure this out for yourself. God led me to pray the following prayer. God, I'm ruined. I'm broken. I think I'm whole, but I'm not. I think I'm organized, but I'm not. I realize, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit is opening my eyes. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are broken. And I have become a bit of a spiritual brat, taking physical things and thinking it's a reflection of my spiritual state. Very honest with you guys. God goes deep. And so I needed to write in my little book where I write down everything I read every day. For the next 10 pages, I wrote, become naked before God, before you do business. So my job for the next 2 weeks is before I start to say, Lord, I am in a state. I need to realize how broken I am before you, Lord, before I can receive anything and I am in trouble. Everything is in Christ. I've taken it to the outside. Maybe this jumps for you as well, maybe not. I'm telling you, I'm showing you how to spend time with God. Lord, I'm in trouble. So I'm like, okay, God, so you're busy with me. I'm going to go on, pray through it. And I go to my next jumping verse. We're going to go to slide 10, please. So I read it again. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And so God is reaffirming His thought. I want you to let your roots go down into me. And every crutch you have, every crutch of stability, just for now, put it to the side. Lord, you are my everything. I want to let my heart go down deep into you. I want to be rooted in you. And then I want to go from that place in the morning, from spending time with you, and I want to walk with you. I want to leave it in this room. And I don't want to exit this room and take back my crutches. I don't want to take back the security of the home or the phone or the friends or a TV show. I don't want it back. I don't want it back. I want to walk. I want to walk with you from this place to work, to the place where I socialize, to the wherever my friends are. I want to walk with you. That's what He was dealing with me with that morning. So I wrote to my book again for the next few days. So it'll be the first words I see. Come hungry. And so I pray these prayers. Lord, refresh me again in your presence. Become everything. I remember as a young student, I had nothing. And I remember Christ just filling every cell of my body. At times I laid awake in my little Corsair's bed. It was, you know, like klein bed. And I just remember experiencing him all around me. And I had nothing. And I say, God, just help me. If you bless me with stuff, and as we grow as a church or as a family, and you build platforms into our lives, may you remain everything. May I never build another pillar into my heart, because those pillars are coming down one day or another. So I want to travel light from the start. This is me. I'm just spending time with him. So I go on to my next jumping verse, which is number 12, please. Awesome. And this was a kind of a weird, I'm like, I don't know why this jumped up for me, but I realized afterwards, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. And then a lot of amazing things that happened to you. Like, who does that? An amazing God? And so these Jewish guys are forcing the new believers to be circumcised. And Paul, what he's actually saying, he's actually insulting them. He says, you know what's easy? Om 'n voorvel af te kap. That's easy. You know what's hard and spiritually deep and no human being can do it? That's a circumcision made without hands. Try that one. You cannot do it. And I realized, oh Lord, there's something you need to do in me that I cannot do for myself. I cannot buy it. I cannot obtain it. I cannot even discipline myself into it. There's something you must do. I don't even know what it is. But if you don't do it in here, then I will not have all of you, and I want all of it. So whatever that means for me today, circumcision, it's afsnema. Maybe my heart, it does not belong there. Just do it. If I could do it myself, I'd do it, but I can't. You must do it. And so this is awesome. Whenever you spend time with God and your relationship with God, there's a lot of stuff He just do for you that you cannot even do for yourself. And that's amazing. That's the God we serve. So bring your impossible requests before Him. That relationship that's been hurting for years, bring it to Him. If He can circumcise without hands, He can sort out your relationship. And so at this stage, I start to ask Him for the impossible. Lord, this whole town. Every person that does not know you, Lord. Every person. Lord, let us be vloer moet sit by Kiro. Just do it, Lord. That sounds crazy. I don't even know how we're going to keep the people warm, but we can do that with our hands. Just do what we can't do. Bring the people that they may hear of you. And so now, by this time, I entered into my room not feeling less for it. By this time, I'm having a party. I'm like, oh, quiet time is the best. Double-minded man. 20 minutes ago, I was thinking about answering a WhatsApp. Now I'm talking to the living God of the universe. I can answer my WhatsApp later. He's amazing. Who does this? Having been buried in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him, you were raised with Christ. If you know Him today, on the cross, something happened even before you were, long before you were conceived. Within Christ's death, you had a part in that. You were there. When He stood up, your spirit, even though the times are mixed up, you were raised. He knew about you. It's amazing. To that God, I can talk and bring my requests. And then the last one, last jumping verse. I don't want to keep you guys too long. He disarmed the rulers and the authority, and He put them to open shame, triumphing over them. The reason I just highlighted it, I thought, wow, He's kind of powerful. It's my God. Amen. And so at this stage, I'm asking myself again with those faith things, what is those things that I'm just struggling to shake off. What is those visions I had in my heart, and I just gave up on them because I thought it's too big. But here's the thing. Here's the God who makes a shame out of our opposition. What are you struggling with? Have you ever felt like there must be a curse on me or my family because if I have one more flat tire, I'm going to get a bicycle? Okay? And we sometimes joke about these things. You see these patterns, you think, am I cursed? You know what? Here's what he will do when you come to him. He disarms the rulers and the authority, and he puts them to open shame, your opposition. Not to make you rich and junk like that, so that you may be free. That you may reach your full potential. That you may be that person that changes lives. Whatever is your opposition, he will come and he will cut off the chains if you go to him. Because in effect, he already did it. But do you want it? Because if you ask it, then it becomes a reality in your own faith. That's an action-packed morning right there, I must say. And I just want to say on this, point, because it's also a sermon, it's my devotional, but it's also for you guys, is if you feel sometimes in bondage when it comes to your past, you're like, man, I messed up and I wish I never did this. Let me tell you what. God uses your mess for a message. He just does it. If you messed up in one certain area and you are so shy about it, take the attack stance in the spirit and say, God, show me those ladies in church that must become our best friend, that they will never go through what I went through. Now you are beating the enemy with his own stick, your past, because you are relating and loving and praying for others and helping them. And sometimes what I've realized is sometimes that's the flat tire in the faith of many people. They can't get going because they're stuck in their past. You need to get moving. You need to trust God. Jy gaan jammer vir jouself wees tot jy doodgaan. Or you're going to start moving and helping other people and do amazing work. Paul says, listen, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of them all. So let me preach the gospel that this whole town can change. Where did you mess up? Get up. Be healed. Let him heal you. Become whole. Don't go to Poikikos if it's foundation 3. You are messing with your future. Become a whole person. Let him heal you. Daar gaan volgende jaar weer 'n bike race wees. Mense, goed, hou nie op nie. Okay? I was smart. I organized it when there was no rugby game. So that's the privilege of being the pastor. I just want to encourage you guys. God really wants to spend time with you. He's not a God that's far. He's not mad at you. His heart towards you is not that he's mad. He wants to help you. You've heard the word conviction, eh? And the word condemnation. Now here's the thing. The enemy condemns you. He tells you about your sin. Conviction also goes about your sin. Conviction is from God. I'll tell you the difference. Condemnation is when you hear something like this. Wessel, jy het aangejaag jou hond. Therefore, oh ja, van der Neer. Therefore, you are damned. Good luck. That's condemnation. Shows you your sin, makes you feel real bad about you, and then leaves you. This is conviction. Wessel, jy het aangejaag. It sounds the same. But can I help you? Conviction always shows a clear way out of sin. So know the difference. When it comes to your past and your sin, God knows about it, and if you come to him, he will show you a way out. He won't name it to you and keep you there. He disarmed everything over your life that kept you bondage and made you go back to a stupid boyfriend oor en oor. Okay? Those things can be gone. By soul ties. Né? That insecurity that caused you to make the bad decision over and over. Allow Christ to remove that junk. There's amazing times for you ahead. You must trust Him. Amen? Let's stand tonight.